Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, safety, justice, freedom, liberation, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I am very, very happy, very honored that we are joined by Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California. Welcome, Dr. Craig. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm happy to be speaking with you again. It's been a while, so I'm looking forward to hearing about all the updates. So before we go into the topics for our interview, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a longtime vegan. Vegan as a commitment to nonviolent living, vegan for the animals, for the planet. For the past 8 years, I have lived off-grid in Northern California at a mini farm called Happy Chihuahua Acres. It's now certified veganic. I studied and practice veganic growing of food crops. I expanded into animal sanctuary at the encouragement of a friend, a vegan friend, Suzanne, who suggested I start with goats. She then delivered some to me. And that animal sanctuary has grown from there. And I am also one of the founding members of the North American Veganic Certification Standard. And I am the director of their grant program.
Thank you, Susan. And I look forward to hearing the updates of the North American Veganic Certification Standard and the grants to veganic farmers, veganic growers internationally. And I'm excited also that we'll be talking about the topic of geoengineering and then also hearing details about your vegan animal sanctuary and even the vegan food for animals. So thank you. So Dr. Craig, let's start out hearing about geoengineering.
Yeah, geoengineering is something that I'm very concerned about. It's a form of covert weather manipulation. Actually, it's at a level of weather warfare worldwide. And I first became aware of it through personal observations when I moved to my farm. I began to notice a lot of jet aircraft flying overhead. I do not live near a major airport or in a flight path, commercial flight path. But I saw a lot of jet activity, and they were spewing thick white streams that extended literally for miles and then would slowly dissipate and result in a silvery white haze that hung out in the sky for a long time. And I started checking flight radar, where you can look up aircraft, and found that a lot of them had their transponders turned off, so could not be tracked. And around that time, as I was becoming increasingly concerned about what the heck is this, I discovered geoengineeringwatch.org, which is headed by researcher Dane Wigington. He's been researching and educating others about geoengineering for over 20 years. So I began doing a lot of research through Geoengineering Watch, and I have also tested my soil and my well water, both of which show the presence of aluminum, which should be zero. There should be no presence of aluminum. And this is an element that's widely used in geoengineering. And there were some other toxins present in the soil and water. And so through personal observation, I became very, very concerned. And recently, there is increasing awareness about geoengineering. It's often considered a conspiracy theory. I absolutely believe it's being done. People are starting to wake up and notice odd weather patterns, hurricanes, floods, chemically nucleated frozen material that looks like snow. There have been some recent high-profile interviews with Dane Wigington, including one with Tucker Carlson, not an endorsement of him either way, but it did result in immediately in millions of views, which was good. And it's finally being recognized by some lawmakers. Tennessee and Florida have passed laws banning geoengineering, although it still continues to be done over in the skies of those states. Several other states are currently working on similar legislation. However, those in power, including in the US and around the globe, are continuing to ignore and deny that it's happening and pretending that it's something that we could, may, might need to do in the future as a last resort to address climate change, when there is solid evidence that it's actually been done since World War II. For those who want to take a deeper dive into this, I highly recommend the documentary, The Dimming, which is free on the geoengineeringwatch.org website. It's a 2-hour documentary about geoengineering. It's basically A to Z. They took a NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration jet, which they'll never be permitted to do again, but they were able to take a jet, a flying lab actually, when they flew through the jet trails, took air samples and analyzed the nanoparticles using electron microscopy, which can analyze really teeny tiny particles, because what is being sprayed are nanoparticles. They are very, very small. And I just highly recommend The Dimming. I've watched it 3 times myself, and I get more information every time I watch it. And I want to link this to veganism. Like, how does geoengineering relate to veganism on a vegan radio show? And veganism is a commitment to support all of creation, all life on Earth. And yet we're being systematically poisoned. Geoengineering isn't the only human activity that harms the planet and life, but we cannot have a serious conversation about climate collapse without including geoengineering in the discussion. And some specific examples of geoengineering include SAI, solar aerosol injection, and SRM, solar radiation management. This is the spraying that is, it's very common to see this happening wherever you are in the world, jet spraying of toxic nanoparticles. And it is estimated that tens of millions of tons of these nanoparticles are sprayed worldwide every year. Another example of geoengineering is chemical ice nucleation, similar to the process that takes place in an ice pack. When you have an ice pack sitting on the shelf for 10 years and you break it to put over an injured knee or something, it immediately gets cold. So it's a similar, it's an endothermic reaction that the chemicals create that causes frozen material, not really snow, but it's similar to snow. And it can cause it to occur at above freezing temperature. So this is why there can be quote unquote snowfall when it's 40 degrees out. It contains surfactants, which are in soaps that help it to keep it from coagulating, and it sticks. So it sticks to trees and causes a lot of breakage. It sticks to animals, wild animals, and also farm animals. There was a chemically nucleated snow event several years ago in South Dakota where over 100,000 cattle were killed very quickly because the frozen material sticks to the animals and causes them to freeze to death, unlike natural snow. It also doesn't melt like natural snow, so it doesn't create the runoff that a real snow would create. A real snowpack would create lots of runoff and good water, and that doesn't happen with chemically nucleated snow. Another thing that is widespread is the use of microwave through HAARP-like installations, H-A-A-R-P. That is up in Alaska. It's co-run by the University of Alaska and the U.S. military. It's billion watts of microwave. I believe it's at least a billion. There are HAARP-like installations, many of them all over the world. There's also a radar system called NEXRAD, N-E-X-R-A-D. And these systems are used to steer weather systems, including hurricanes, with microwaves. They also create high pressure heat domes that can stay parked over one area. And that also affects wind currents. Another thing that's being done is the use of defoliants to remove leaves, which causes trees to go dormant artificially. So that is being done. And the wildfires are also the fury with which wildfires occur. And I am a wildfire home loss survivor. I lost everything in a wildfire 8 years ago. So I've been through that. There are a lot of causes for wildfires, and wildfires do occur, but the fury with which they are happening is fueled by climate engineering, which disrupts the rain cycle. It destroys the ozone layer, which causes intense UV radiation to hit the planet, UVB and UVC, which destroys plant life. And the SAI, SRM nanoparticles, aluminum is a primary ingredient, cover forests with an incendiary dust that dries out the forest and also is electrified. So it attracts lightning, and it increases the intensity of wildfires. And there is even a government document about using wildfires as a weapon of war. It's a government document, and it is available on the Geoengineering Watch website if you want to take a look at that document from the US government about using wildfires as a weapon of war. For people who think our government wouldn't do this, I would just say, think again when you think about the amount of nuclear testing that our government did. And I'm talking about US government, although our US is not the only government that has done this. Nuclear testing, bioweapon development and use, and even most recently, the COVID vaccines and the rollouts and the mandates. So just really wanted to be able to use this platform of your radio show, Marlene, to help raise awareness about geoengineering. I think it's important.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, now I'd like to switch to the vegan good news of the North American Veganic Certification Standard and the Certified Veganic Grant Program, of which you are the director.
Yes, and thanks again, Marlene, for letting me share some very exciting news about Certified Veganic. There's a continuum in veganism that that starts with not eating animals, not eating animal products, and then it often grows from there to not wearing animal products, not using products that are tested on animals. And part of that continuum is an awareness that the foods that are grown, even certified organic foods, use a lot of slaughterhouse byproducts in the growing of those crops. So there's a certified organic can use blood meal, bone meal, feathers, manures from feedlots, etc. We need to eat, so we don't really have a choice to eat foods that are not grown with these products in them. Veganic growing is a response to that. So veganic growing is a way of growing food crops without the use of any animal products. It's just through using green compost.
We're listening to Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California. You tune in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Susan Craig. Let's have a little musical interlude. This is vegan musician Alex Arndt in the Sonic Universe. Hold the line.
Try to coerce us and force us, but they'll never penetrate our temples, 'cause we hold the line. Hold the line. Won't let them steal our sovereignty with them.
doctors and nurses, sleepless nights and overtime on the front lines. We are police in the cities, and firefighters, we're protecting the families. Kicked us to the curb for the shot we refuse. It's our body and our right to choose. It don't matter, we will weather this storm, cause God is with us in this battle. Come and join us as we hold the line. Hold the line. Won't let them see the sovereignty within.
That was Hold the Line by Alex Ont and the Sonic Universe. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're joined by Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California, and Susan is a founding member of the North American Veganic Certification Standard and the director of their grant program. Here's Dr. Susan Craig.
So about 3 years ago, a few of us started up the North American Veganic Certification Standard. We initially were going to just certify growers as veganic in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. We very quickly got interest, especially from the continent of Africa, which is really on fire right now around veganic growing. But for worldwide, there is interest. And so we expanded our certification to include anyone who's interested worldwide, any grower who meets the standards. And we have a grant program, which is pretty unique. We're an all-volunteer program. We don't, none of us get paid to do this work that we do. And so any income that comes in is circulated back to the grant program. And the first year, we were able to offer 2 mini grants. The second year, we were able to offer 5 grants. And this year, we offered 17 grants, and we were able to increase the amount because we have a couple of anonymous donors now, which has been very exciting. So we were flooded with grant applications, and we selected to receive grants. Several on the African continent, 2 are in Uganda, 2 are in Kenya. There's 1 in Gambia and 1 in the Republic of Congo. And these are very interesting projects. A lot of them include creating veganic gardens in orphanages and schools and teaching women in the community how to grow veganic. We've got one of the grants went to veganic project in India. We have 2 in England and 2 in Scotland, 1 in Canada. And in the United States, we were able to give grants to veganic growers in Boston, Washington State, South Carolina, Texas, and Hawaii. And just the things that people are doing, my favorites are the ones that involve children in schools and communities and teaching communities how to grow. There are a lot of them, and they're just incredible. So it's very, very exciting times for veganic growing. We've also, a month ago, started a vegan activist circle. And this is facilitated by my partner at NAVCS, Jimmy Bidell. It's a monthly activist circle on Zoom. It's open to anyone. So even if you're not a veganic grower yet, you're just interested, you can still participate. And the way to sign up is via the certifiedveganic.org website. So I very much appreciate having this opportunity, Marlene, to share this information with your audience out there. And if anyone wants more information about Certified Veganic, just go to our website, certifiedveganic.org.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you. And now I'd love to hear about your vegan animal sanctuary.
Okay, so this is my life. I have a vegan animal sanctuary. So I am here to tell you it can be done. This is my life, both with the animal sanctuary and the veganic garden. I have 12 dogs, 4 cats, 9 goats, 1 sheep, 2 miniature horses, and 3 ponies. And all of them were adopted either from shelters or rescued from a variety of circumstances. So one thing, if anyone is considering adopting an animal, I encourage people to consider adopting older animals and animals with health issues, and even seeking out high kill shelters. Over the holidays, I adopted a senior, an elderly Chihuahua who had a mammary tumor, which has been removed, and she's blind. She has cataracts and dental issues, and she wouldn't have lived long in that shelter. She was not adoptable, and she wouldn't have survived. And so I now have little Duchess in the house. And so I do encourage people to consider those animals that are less likely to get adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
My animals are all vegan. And so the dogs and cats are vegan. My favorite vegan food is Evolution. I buy the organic vegan. They have a non-organic that's not as expensive, but I buy the organic Evolution. I feed that to my dogs and cats, both the kibble and the dried food. There are some other brands. There's V-Dog. These are all vegan pet foods. There's V-Dog, Wild Earth, AmiCat, and Bonovo. I've tried all of them, and I lean strongly towards Evolution, where you can order it from petfoodshop.com. That's the Evolution company. V-Dog can be ordered from Chewy. Wild Earth can be ordered directly from Wild Earth. AmiCat and Bonovo can be ordered from vicado.com. Most of my farm animals eat hay. I do have one very old miniature horse whose teeth are not very good, so I have to feed him pelleted food that is softened with water. And a lot of the pelleted foods contain non-vegan ingredients like glucosamine, so I have to check labels and make sure that all of the ingredients are vegan. So yeah, I recommend, if you can, foster or adopt animals in need, any species. You're certainly, while we can't save the world, you certainly can save the world for those animals. So thank you, Marlene. Thanks for letting me share about Happy Chihuahua Acres.
Thank you, Susan. And again, how many dogs and cats and other animals are in your sanctuary?
I have 12 dogs. So specifically, I have 10 Chihuahuas, 2 Doberman Pinschers, 4 cats. I have 3 indoor cats and then 1 feral cat, 9 goats, 1 sheep. The sheep is pair bonded with a pygmy goat, 2 miniature horses, and 3 ponies. I would not be able to afford to have 30 animals on my own. What happened was 3.5 years ago, I lost my sister Audrey to suicide, and I received a bittersweet inheritance from her estate. And I decided that the highest and best purpose for some of that money was to save more animals and provide a lifelong home for them. And this enabled me to create a beneficial outcome out of a tragedy where I am able to see Audrey's legacy live on in all of the animals here. And I'm sure that's something that she would feel good about.
Rest in peace, Audrey. And thank you, Susan. And I have a question for you on the glucosamine.
Okay, so glucosamine is a non-vegan. It's made from cartilage, I believe, animal cartilage. And it's very common in animal feed. It's supposed to aim in improve joints. There actually is a vegan, you can get vegan glucosamine. It is possible. But the glucosamine in animal feed is not vegan. That's a pretty common additive in pelleted animal food.
And if our listeners have any more questions, what is your contact information?
Well, the two best ways to contact me are through either my website, which is veganicliving.org, or my email, which is drsusancraig@icloud.com.
Thank you, Dr. Susan Craig. You are an inspiration and a powerhouse. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Marlene, you are so welcome. And thank you, too, for raising awareness of veganism through your radio show. I really appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Susan. This is Annette Arruda in Munich, Germany. Go vegan.
Go vegan. Hear them cry.
Go vegan. Go vegan.
For too long you haven't noticed all the cruelties that have been done. But now the time has come that you listen and watch and then act. Please listen and watch and then act. Hörst du sie schreien?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Hörst du sie weinen?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Siehst du sie sterben?
This is Alex Arndt in the Sonic Universe. Previously, we heard his other song during the break, and this song is My Innocence Begins Today.
My innocence begins today. That's the vow I offered up as I kneeled down to pray. Thank you, God, for blessing me with compassion for all hard things. My innocence begins today.
A very special thank you to all the vegan musicians. Authentic veganism, animal liberation, is the key to peace on earth, in my opinion. Much thanks to all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Much thanks to my guest, Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California. Happy Chihuahua Acres, a veganic mini farm and sanctuary. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The song we heard at the start of the program was Resonating to the Sound by Renee King Sonnen, founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Texas. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a lovely, joyous, peaceful day.
Reconnect with our innocence. It's so natural to want to live in peace.